Well, Brother Chris, that was a good Baptist song. Most Baptists are rather still in the church, amen. Can't get a holy grunt out of them, let alone an amen. Take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of James, James chapter 1. Is that Tony and Diane right here? There's a guy I coached about 50 years ago. Where's that black hair that you used to have? I remember Tony Ward. I remember Tony Ward had black hair. He was one of my fullbacks. And remember that year, JV, we were 0-7. I think about every other week we had an open date. And so I got on the phone and called Ragsdale and Lexington and teams like that, and they beat us like a drum. I remember Tony running fullback, and by halftime, he was beat half to death because they didn't have anybody to block for him. So, Mr. Bowie, the principal, said, you should have left well enough alone and just had those open dates and not schedule those teams that were above our heads. So maybe that's where Tony lost his hair after getting beat so much. But good to see them today in the service. James chapter 1. Here just very shortly in the next week or two, we'll be starting a series of messages leading up to Easter. And then right after Easter, we're going to pause from James, and I'm going to deal with some key passages of Scripture on prophecy in these end times. What is going on right now in our world? What is taking place with all of this Russian invasion of Ukraine and all of this talk? We'll look at some passages of prophecy and that point to the coming of the Lord, and I think you'll enjoy and get some insight into that. James chapter 1, come down to verse 19. James is talking about how we receive the word of truth. Specifically in verse 22, that I think is one of his signature verses, he talks about us hearing the word, but not just being hearers only, but doers of the word. So last Sunday we started this passage, and I told you that was part one. Today is part number two. And so in verse 19, he's talking about how we prepare ourselves to hear God's word. So notice here he gives three things we're to do here in this 19th verse. Notice with me. James says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man, and the man all-inclusive, man, woman, let every believer, he's writing to believers, see, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So let us pause there. Notice, swift to hear, quick or speedy in our order to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For he says in verse 20, wrath or anger just does not worketh or demonstrates the righteousness of God. And as I said last Sunday, there is something known as righteous indignation. Jesus exhibited that when he went through the temple and drove out the money changers with a whip. Jesus had righteous indignation. My wife sometimes has righteous indignation toward me. Amen. Can't get a witness over there to my right. Now, she's never threatened divorce, but she has spoken of justifiable homicide. That'll arrive for some of you after a while. So James is saying, just be quick to listen. Slow down what you have to say, because sometimes we talk ourselves out of hearing God's word. Now notice verse 21. He speaks about attitude in receiving the word in humility. And then he speaks about the actual action, receiving the word. Like I trust you're doing this morning. Look at verse 21. Wherefore lay apart or aside all filthiness and superfluity or abundance of naughtiness. And the word naughtiness means wickedness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Notice the attitude. There's an attitude we need to have when we not only hear the word, but receive the word. And it's meekness. It means humility. James calls on us as hearers of the word to set aside all of our sin in our lives, our naughtiness, our abundance of it, and have an attitude of humility with meekness. That means gentleness or humility. The idea here is of a teachable spirit. Now, in over 40 years and 5 churches as a full-time pastor, and now here in this last year or so, 2 churches as an interim pastor, probably in every church I've had those that lacked a teachable spirit. I've had them almost literally say to me, "Well, preacher, you can't teach me anything because I know everything." Now, those kind of really bless your heart. Amen. Can't get a witness right there. I just want to tell you today, in 40-plus years, I've yet to say I know everything about this Bible. It's an amazing book. I've studied passages of Scripture that I've studied and preached out of for years, and at different times come back to those same passages and learn something even different. Do you have a teachable spirit? Do you have a spirit of meekness, of humility when it comes to hearing the Word of God? Are you one of those who says, "Well, I know everything. Preacher, you can't teach me anything." Well, friend, I think you'd be lacking in what James is saying. And then notice in verse 21, this word, receive. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. Remember last Sunday, it means that which is planted. He sees it as a fruitful plant to receive. Receive, the word receive here in the Greek literally means to welcome into my home. Make the word of God, as it were, welcome into your home where you live. Receive it with that kind of humility. James calls on you and I to receive the Word of God, which is able to save our souls, as just bringing it into our dwelling place. And then we come to that 22nd verse. Again, one of his signature verses. But be ye doers of the word. Do what it says. Do what you hear it to say to you. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Or else you'll what? Deceive your own selves. So here we see this as a command. This is actually an imperative. It's not a suggestion. And it's not a recommendation. James is not saying if it pleases you or if it's something you'll consider doing. Rather, it's an imperative. It's a command. Be you doers of the word, not hearers only. So first we must hear the word. But then we must do what it says. But he brings us to verse 23. He brings us to an illustration. Don't miss this. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer. Now look at this. James is about to contrast to us two types. The effectual hearer contrasted to the forgetful hearer or the neglectful hearer. And he does it with illustration. Now notice, this is interesting. Look at verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer. Just the opposite of what he says in verse 22. He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. Probably all of us today looked into a mirror. Maybe you were shaving if you're a man, or brushing your teeth, or combing your hair. And as we looked in that mirror, we saw our reflection. We saw who we were. And so James sets this stage. Now look at verse 24. For he beholdeth himself, he sees himself in this mirror, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Let me use that illustration of shaving. Now, I typically never shave looking into the mirror. I'll do it in the shower. While I'm shaving, put on the soap or lather and take my razor and shave in the shower without standing in front of a mirror. And many times, probably most of the time, I'll nick myself either right here or right here. And when I get out of the shower, I have an idea by the feel, the sensation, that I've probably done that. And then when I look in the mirror, I see the reality. Blood is trickling either down my neck or down my chin. But I cannot help. I cannot forget what I see. I've got to deal with it because that blood is coming down pretty good, I guess, being on a blood thinner. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? Or if you're shaving, looking in the mirror and you nick yourself. You don't walk away and forget that. You don't walk away and just let the blood keep trickling down. But you respond. But look what James says. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So here's a contrast in verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. That phrase, a perfect law of liberty, is the word of God. This is God's perfect law, inspired, infallible, inerrant. And it does set us free. Set us free from our sin. Set us free from our guilt. Set us free from these things in our lives. It's the perfect law of liberty. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, therein, notice, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. You want to be blessed? Then when you look into that spiritual mirror and see who you really are, and then stack that up against what the Word of God says, and God's Word speaks to you and tells you what to do, and then you do it, you'll be blessed. Verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious. Oh, what an ugly word sometimes. Religious. The word religious occurs only here in the New Testament in James 1, verse 26. Only place you find it in the New Testament. Religious. A lot of our church people sitting on our church pews are religious, but something's missing. Something's missing. More of an outward form rather than having a really true inward force. Let me repeat that. Being religious is sometimes just merely an outward form that's lacking an inward force. I want to tell you this morning, the Lord Jesus did not come to found a religion, but rather a relationship. It's not religion that saves us, it's redemption. Our world loves religion. But you mention Jesus and they'll back off. Religion is destroying churches. Our churches are filled with religious people, but there's something missing. Look at verse 27. Pure religion, or really that which is true and real, that is actual, notice, and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Now, that is quite an audience. How does our life, how does your life, my life stack up before God, our Heavenly Father? For He is watching us and observing us. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. James gives a very practical illustration and explanation. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, in their difficulty, in their time of testing or trials, the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Not only along with the ability to hold one's tongue and a heart of compassion for others, and this is what James says is the real thing. When we see people in need, we respond. When we see our brothers and sisters in affliction, whether it be the fatherless or widows, senior adults, those going through hurtful times, when we respond, that's what is real. That's what's genuine. James includes, notice how the verse ends. He includes that we're to have a clean life as even further evidence. I don't have to tell you today, we're living in a dirty world. We're living in a very dirty world that's polluted by sin. And I'm afraid it's invaded the doors of the church. And much of it finds itself on the pews every Sunday. And too much of that has found its way right here among us. So how do we keep ourselves clean and unspotted? It's really simple. Stay in the book. Stay in the book. Stick with the stuff that really works. You and I don't know what's going on in our world to the extent of what's going to happen next. But God's Word's already told us. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. God wants us to not only hear His Word, but do His Word. Park Place, I think that's very applicable to where we are even today. So I want you to come back and circle verse 22, underline verse 22, memorize verse 22, put verse 22 into action in your life, and I should in mine. When we hear God's Word, it calls for a response. I'm either going to do it or I'm not. It's like looking in a mirror and seeing our true selves, seeing a flaw, seeing a nick from shaving that is bleeding, and either fixing it or walking away with neglect. What do you see in your spiritual mirror? Who do you see in your spiritual mirror? Do you see someone that is being blessed or being burdened? But be ye doers of the Word, and not just hearers only. Or else you'll be deceiving your own selves. And the most dangerous deception is self-deception. Do what it says. Not only hear it, but do it. Let us pray.